Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Political celebrity usually comes later in life, rarely during the preteen or teenage years, but it's exactly what happened to Gabe Fleischer. The University City 16-year-old John Burroughs student has appeared on national television, national radio, and in national publications because of his fascination with and knowledge of national politics. 5 days a week, his newsletter, Wake Up to Politics, pops up in thousands of computer inboxes all over the country and beyond. Among the recipients, a who's who of politicians and journalists, I sat down with Gabe a few days ago and asked about all of it and how it began. Remember, he's only 16.
I first got interested in politics really during the 2008 elections. And I mean, I think during an election cycle, obviously we went through one not too long ago. And I think, you know, there's yard signs, bumper stickers, TV ads, politics are kind of all around us. And I really got fascinated and curious about the political system. So I asked my parents questions and then more questions than they could answer. And I started reading and I really just developed a real passion.
Your mother played a key role in all of it. She really got the ball rolling, didn't she?
Both my parents really encouraged my interest as I was really young. And then with the newsletter specifically, the story goes that I was always trying to tell her things about politics. And you know, I would wake up really early and be reading all different news sites and try to tell her things as we went out the door. And one day she kind of just said to me, just put it all in an email. It's too much. And so I did. And that was how the newsletter started.
Wake Up to Politics is the name of what you're doing these days. How many subscribers do you have now?
I have over 48,000 subscribers now.
Good Lord. I mean, that's just incredible. And it's jumped by leaps and bounds, hasn't it? I mean, I think the first one I saw was just a couple of dozen. Then all of a sudden, it's a couple of thousand.
That's right. It's been pretty incredible.
You want to take the confusion out of politics from what I read of your site. I'm wondering how you're managing to do that these days, and how does it compare, the confusion, if you will, today mm-hmm. to 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I have been doing this now for, you know, in some form for, you know, about 6 years. And so I think it does – it has changed. I think, well, certainly my readership has changed, and I've grown as a writer. But I think in this political climate, I think there's just a lot more – I think even just like news outlets – out there, and as there's been more kind of news outlets that, and all these different reports, and you know, with you know, kind of the fake news label being thrown yeah. around, I do think people, I hear from my readers a lot, just that people are so overwhelmed with everything that they're reading and that's coming at them, and it's hard to sort through what's real and what's not, and what's important and what's not. And so I do try to play a role, kind of no matter what's going on, but even just sorting through what my readers really, I think, need to know when they are making a choice at the voting booth.
It puts a lot of pressure on you to try to sort through, separate the wheat from the chaff, as it were.
Yeah, it's not always easy, and it takes, you know, reading a lot of different sources and kind of always staying on top of the news, and especially now. I mean, it's true that a few years ago, there were definitely days I would wake up and I'd be trying to find things to write about, and you know, mm-hmm. what little thing can I try to explain to my readers. And now that certainly, I think, for the past few months, not been a challenge. There's always 10 different stories that could be the main story on any day or any tweet that I could write about, and so now I have to write a lot less about a lot of things, it feels like. And so it can be a lot to keep up with things and also to keep up with schoolwork, but it's a lot of fun, and I really love doing it.
One of the sources of confusion these days is the fact that we have a president who says one thing, his secretary of state will say another thing, and his secretary of defense will say another thing. I mean, they're not on the same page so many times.
Yeah, I mean, and that I think that's the type of thing that I think this presidency has obviously posed a lot of challenges for journalism and just for people trying to keep up with the news. I'm really proud of that my readership really spans people that are, you know, kind of following all of those contradictions, you know, people in Washington or people in newsrooms or in political offices that are following all those contradictions, and then people that might be opening the email and saying Rex Tillerson or James Mattis, who are those people? And so that can be difficult now, and so it's important to me, and I always stay nonpartisan, and so it's important to me to just say, this is what this person says, this is what this person says, this is what's happening, or this is what we know is happening, and just trying to sort through that for people and then let them make up their minds.
Who are you writing for? Do you have a target reader?
I think, well, I mean, my first reader was my mom and was kind of just me trying to talk to her about politics, and she was kind of too busy, or, you know, I mean, in some ways she, you know, had to get to work. And so didn't have as much time to kind of sit with me and talk about it. And so in some ways that's kind of my target is, mm-hmm. I think people who are, maybe too busy to really be sitting down and reading the New York Times or kind of ingesting that much news. And so Wake Up to Politics can kind of give them kind of just the short rundown. I like to call it that it's comprehensive, because I really don't think I dumbed anything down for my readers, but that it's still understandable and that they can understand what's going on. And so I think in some ways that is my target audience, but I'm really proud that I think, unlike a lot of other political newsletters, my audience really does span from, people my age and younger and kids, and there's a lot of teachers that share the newsletter with their classrooms, which is really cool to me. And there's a lot of people who are politicians or political staff that read it. So I really think yeah. that there's a lot of diversity.
I kind of thought early on that what you might have been trying to do was to get to peers of your own age group and try to help them to understand. But obviously, from what you've just described, it's a much, much different audience than that.
Yeah, and it's definitely bigger mm-hmm. than that. I think it's really cool to me that there are people my age that are reading the newsletter. But I definitely think it's much larger than that, and definitely mostly adults that read it.
How do your peers in school react to your celebrity? Because you are a celebrity now. You're on CNN, and you're on MSNBC, and you're on NPR, and you're on this program. Yeah. How do they react to that?
Well, I don't know about celebrity, but I think they definitely all know about it, and my friends think it's cool. And a lot of my friends are politically engaged, but it's not the number one thing that we talk about, and so it's something that I do, but also I'm just with them, and it's normal.
Tell me about the process. I mean, I've read about you, and you get this email out very early every day, around 8 o'clock every day. Mm-hmm. You're going to school. You're going to John Burroughs. What time do you get up, and what is the process for putting all this together in a short period of time?
I get up. I mean, really the process is – it really starts at night. I obviously get my homework done first, or I try to. And I'm kind of surfing Twitter, and I'm surfing a really wide array of sites across the web. But by the time I go to bed, I try to put together some sort of rundown of these are the things that I think will be important tomorrow. This is what I want to write about. Maybe if I have some idea of how I want to thread them together or what I want my, kind of angle to be. Obviously, there's always the potential to wake up and there's a tweet from the president and that's all changed. But I try to have that. And then I wake up just before 6 o'clock and I really just write and get as much as I can into the newsletter and press send by about 7:40.
What are you looking for when you're aggregating this material?
What I write in the newsletter kind of falls into pretty clear. I try to keep it to what's going on in politics today, in the day ahead, and what went on since the last newsletter. And really in the categories of the White House and what the president's doing, Congress, the courts, and elections. And one of the things that I do that I think is kind of unique is I give the schedules for all of those kind of institutions, exactly what the president's schedule is, exactly what Congress is doing, what they're voting on, which is not available, is not that publicly seen. I mean, it is publicly available, but it's not in many newspapers and newsletters. So I give that to my readers and then trying to fill in just the developments of the day and what to expect in the day ahead.
The president typically will begin his Twitter feeding about 5-6 o'clock in the morning. I would have to assume that there have been many occasions where the best laid plans that you have made the night before have been turned around by 6 o'clock the next morning.
That's for sure. I mean, I have tweet notifications on my phone. Whenever he tweets, I get a buzz. And I'm in the middle of the newsletter and suddenly I can think of tons of examples in the past year when there's a tweet about James Comey or the Russia investigation or any healthcare tax from any manner of things where I usually am writing on that subject and then suddenly have to find a way to put that quote in at the top or at the bottom, and that happens all the time now.
Is it difficult to remain nonpartisan when you're putting all this together?
I do think because I've been doing it for so long, I get that question a lot, and it really isn't that challenging for me. I think I'm really focused on when I read the news, and I read it kind of constantly, that I'm looking at it through the angle of how I'm going to present it to my readers, how I'm going to explain it. And I'm not really thinking about my opinion or how what I think about it. And so it's kind of becomes not that difficult to just give the facts.
I read that you are at times during the summer in particular incommunicado, where you don't have access to information. What is that like for you, and what does that do to the newsletter?
Yeah, so the I go to camp each summer for 8 weeks in Minnesota, which I love. And that can be difficult with the newsletter. It goes completely dark, so does my Twitter feed. And it can be difficult. My parents try to send me little news print and chat, so I have some idea usually what's going on, but it can be difficult, but I love camp, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
That's got to be very frustrating for you, however, because you're so into this.
For sure. I mean, I've missed the conventions and the VP fix last year, and then in this past summer, there's obviously a lot of shakeup at the White House, a lot of with healthcare, a lot of news. But I think it's good sometimes to step away and be in nature.
You mentioned earlier how your mother was instrumental in getting the ball rolling on all of this. And what I've read about you, another name that's well known also was, and that is Sean Spicer, the former press secretary. How in the world did you get hooked up with him?
Yeah, so in the 2016 cycle, I really wanted, because I live at least on a map, not too far from Des Moines, from Iowa, I really wanted to be there during the caucus kind of system, obviously the first in the nation caucuses. And so I applied for press credentials for the Democratic primary debate in Des Moines in November of 2015. And I was credentialed, and my mom and I drove up to Des Moines, and I was able to be in the press room and in the spin room with all the candidates and all their aides, which was such an exhilarating experience. And one of the people that I met there was the communications director for the RNC at that time, who was Sean Spicer, kind of a surprising person to see in a Democratic spin room. And I started talking to him, and I was asking him some questions, and he said, well, if you want to see a real debate, you should come to a Republican one. And we have one in Des Moines, and he gave me his card. And a few months later, I said, I'd love to take you up on that. And so he was actually the one who got me credentials to a Republican debate in Des Moines as well. So I had a little bit of a correspondence with him then. He doesn't as much answer my emails now, but he did help me get those credentials.
And now he has more time on his hands than he did before.
He does now, so maybe he'll take my emails again.
I'm curious as to what your reaction was when he was named to be the news secretary, the press secretary. That, and also the fact that first time out of the box, right after the inauguration, when he started telling people that, making mischaracterizations of the size of the crowd at the inauguration.
Right. It was certainly an interesting experience because I think when I met him, he was – I mean, I recognized him, I think, probably just from TV or he – and then suddenly he became this celebrity in some ways, kind of a huge figure that everyone knew. And when I saw him named press secretary, I mean, that made sense to me in a lot of ways. I knew he was pretty – he worked out of Trump Tower at the end of the campaign, and I it was cool to see that someone who I had known and who I respected was being named press secretary. It was obviously – interesting to watch as he, had difficulty at that podium and with the truth, I think, at some times and with getting out his message. And I think in that first press briefing, I remember really clearly watching and as about the crowd size. And so, I mean, I think he's had his journey, but it's been interesting to watch.
What do you think of Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
I mean, I think that her job as press secretary is to deliver the message of the White House, and she does that. The program that Sean Spicer started was the Skype seat program to get reporters out of the press room to get Skype in and get questions answered, and so I've been in touch with that office a little bit, trying to get a Skype seat for myself to ask a question of her, and I don't get to watch those briefings because I'm at school during them, but I definitely follow along afterwards.
Saturday Night Live is having a lot of fun with the press secretary. We've got Melissa McCarthy, and the name escapes me of the young woman who's playing Sarah these days. You watch that?
I do watch SNL for sure, and a lot of my friends do as well, and it's always fun to watch what they do on the week's news.
Why is your emphasis totally on national politics as opposed to local? The local politics are closer to the people, closer to us than the national politics.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I personally do follow our local politics, which are really fascinating to me, but I think as I read – before politics, I was really interested in history and especially presidential history. And I think I read so much about the presidency and then about Congress and about the courts. And I think really where my – expertise or where my knowledge is in national politics, and I have become really comfortable writing about kind of the issues before Congress and the president. And I think, honestly, I don't know if I'd be able to turn that to local politics or state mm-hmm. politics, but it's definitely something I follow. But I think really what I know how to cover well is national.
Where do you think all of this is going to take you, and where do you want it to take you?
I would love to keep doing Wake Up Politics as long as I can. Obviously, I think with school, each year it becomes a little bit harder to balance everything, but also, I mean, harder in some ways, but more comfortable in other ways. And I'd like to keep doing it. I'd like to continue journalism for as long as I can. I think whether that is in college, maybe joining another outlet or continuing my newsletter, I don't know. I have a lot of time to decide. But
and as a career, is journalism something that you're pointing yourself toward?
I do think so. I think that's what I'd like to do in the future.
How about political office?
I don't know as much. I think definitely for me, I've become so focused. My political interest is really in explaining it to people and staying nonpartisan. And I think that's kind of how I would see myself in the political sphere going forward.
We have to wind this down, but I'm curious as to the amount of time that you've been doing this, keeping very, very busy, obviously, except for those summer excursions. Can you look back at a moment? Was there a specific moment in all of this that just stands out for you?
I think definitely I've been very honored. There's a lot of moments. I've gotten press credentials to a lot of different events mm-hmm. and candidates and debates. And so a lot of those moments stick out to me. Just a few weeks ago, I was in St. Charles when the president was speaking there. And that was the first time I've ever been in the room with President Trump. And so that was definitely a fascinating experience. And being booed along with the press corps when he mm-hmm. called us fake news is definitely a moment that'll stick in my head, I think, for a long time. So I think of moments like that in the Democratic and Republican spin rooms, were very exciting experiences for me during the debates.
Well, I think you're going to have a lot more exciting experiences in the months ahead, the way this whole thing is shaping up. Gabe, thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations on all that you've accomplished at a very young age. You're a remarkable young man.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
That's 16-year-old Gabe Fleischer of University City, editor-in-chief of Wake Up to Politics, a political newsletter distributed weekdays to nearly 50,000 people across the country and beyond. And the list of subscribers is growing. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.